emotions, mind, body, and spirit. This podcast is dedicated to individuals who are on a quest to uncover their truth, understanding their genetic and spiritual DNA, and learning how to harness this knowledge to achieve optimal health. But this isn't just another health podcast. Natural Podcast is here to ignite a spark of hope within you, reminding you of your innate potential for greatness. You are pure love, capable of living life to your fullest expression. Are you ready to embark on a transformational journey to achieve optimal health? In today's episode, we have Dr. Nijeka, the visionary and creative energy behind Focus on Healing Wellness Institute. She's an accomplished naturopath and a leading authority on the cultural integration of traditional health practices with conventional medicine for mind, body, and emotional wellness. She's an author, acclaimed speaker, media personality, master reflexologist, pain relief educator, and consultant who has helped thousands of chronic pain sufferers relieve pain. First with addiction and medication-free pain relief treatment as an alternative addressing the opioid epidemic plaguing our communities. Welcome to the Natural Health Podcast. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to sharing with your listeners.
Amazing. So you play a bit of chess?
A little bit.
Can we say we're good at this or?
I know the game.
Amazing. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. And Nijeka, give us a little bit of an insight of what got you to be here where you are today.
Okay, let me kind of put it together in a brief, as short as I possibly can to give the whole
overview. Take your time. We want to hear all of it.
Well, one of the things is I grew up with home remedies. And growing up in an environment of home remedies when I was a child, doctors used to live in the neighborhoods and doctors did home visits. And so I saw doctors and I said, oh, that's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be a doctor. Because to me as a child, they were healers. So I thought that was something real powerful. Until I got to school, when I got to college, I got a rude awakening that that's not what doctors learned how to do. My perception of what I saw to be a doctor. So I changed my career choice and became a social worker. And so during that time period, I did social worker covering every gamut from infants to seniors to every aspect of social service that you can imagine. I did it. But one of the things that concerned me the most was that everybody was going to the emergency room for healthcare. And I said, well, something's wrong with this picture. This is not right. And it kind of sparked up my childhood desire to want to be a doctor again. And that was around the time when naturopath and alternative was coming to the forefront. And so I went back to school and got my naturopathic training and became a practitioner. And as a practitioner, I wanted to do something that I wanted to add a service to my practice. And so what I did is I went on what was called a vision quest, and that's where you spend time with the Native Americans and they put you on a sacred spot on the mountain and you're out there all with nature all by yourself. And me coming from the city, not dealing with the natural environment, that was a rude awakening.
Wow.
But I survived it. And then when you came down, they gave, you were doing a journal while you were up there. So then they gave translations and they said, you need to do something with your hands. And so I said, so to me, I thought that meant massage. So I, started looking at that, but I didn't like massage, but I did like reflexology. And from there is how it all got started. And reflexology became my passion and how I've spent my life and how I've built my practice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So where did you do the social work? Whereabouts was that?
Okay, I'm based in Washington, D.C., which I nicknamed Stress Capital USA.
And love it.
So that's where I did my practice. But, my studies, I went to school in New York to be trained to be a social worker. And I did some other, graduate training. So within the States, that's where I did training for social work.
Yeah, and you would have seen it all, right?
I've seen it all.
Yeah. So, and as you mentioned, you saw a lot of people going to emergency to get healthcare, and that doesn't align. I mean, would it just be for any type of things? Would it be for pain medication? Would it be for acute injuries, chronic injuries? Is it because people weren't educated on how to help themselves, or why do you think that was?
Basically, we're talking about the economics of healthcare. That was their doctor. That, you know, we go to the emergency room as your doctor. Specifically if you don't have insurance coverage or anything like that. But the problem with that is you're looking at what I call not dealing with preventive approaches. You're only focusing on what's going on right now. And so the bottom line is when people decide to go to the doctor, the only reason they're going is because they're in pain. And you know that if I'm in pain, I go to the doctor who's supposed to relieve me of my pain. And so if I'm in pain and I go to the doctor, now I'm dealing with a real serious situation that I'm looking for the doctor to relieve for me.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And most of the individuals, like you said, go to emergency because they're in pain and they want some type of relief.
Yes.
That's why I'm excited about today's episode, because we are going to talk about pain. Absolutely exciting. But I love your journey. I love how, you know, you thought, you know, I want to be a doctor because I'm going to help people. So you moved into social support, which helped individuals. And then you went to naturopath medicine. Tell me a little bit about the journey that you said you went to the mountains. I want to know a little bit more about that. You said you were a city girl and then you're going into nature and you're just like, what is happening here?
Well, what is known as a vision quest is when you are put on a sacred space on the mountain and you're out there in nature. No tents, no food, no nothing.
By yourself.
By yourself in this spot. So they would put you in a place that became your sacred spot. So you're dealing with nature and all of its elements and you're connecting. And one of the things that was real important about that particular experience is all of the nature's natural elements that connected with you is how they were able to translate what was going on in your experience. So like for me, there was a woodpecker that came every morning and would tap on the box of the trees. I spent a lot of time with the butterflies. The butterflies were coming. My only major fear was about snakes, but no snakes came. So that was good.
That's good.
So like, you know, it was that, like, you know, and then there were flowers and different things. It was like you being in line with nature and the environment. And that was like a real healing and awakening experience. Because at that time, you're also doing mind, body, and spirit cleansing at the same time in your sacred space on the mountain.
That's beautiful. And how long were you up there for?
Which was interesting. You could come down at any time, but the time was to be able to stay for 7 days.
Okay.
And remember now, I had never camped. I've never been outside camping. And so I was, everybody that went, it was a lot of campers that were there. And which was interesting, I guess my competitive nature came up. I was the only one that stayed the whole 7 days.
Wow, that is amazing. That's a huge achievement. That woodpecker helped you.
Yes.
That is amazing. And then they came back and they said, you need to do something with your hands. That's so interesting. I love that interpretation. I wonder where what that came from. But yeah, and then you went into reflexology. Tell us a little bit, you know, some of the audience might be like, what is reflexology? Are you able to just give us a little bit of an insight of what it is?
Okay, reflexology is the art and science of working specific reflex nerve ending points that are found on your hands, your feet, and your ears that correspond to the organs, the cells, and the systems of the body. And it's designed to relax, relieve stress, improve circulation, and release toxins from the body. So this is the whole concept of what reflexology is. But to help your listeners understand it, this is how I would explain it. Think about electricity. When you go into your house and if the power goes off, you just flip, the circuit breaker and the electricity will come back on. But if there's a problem and it doesn't come back on, you have to call the electrician. So what you see a reflexologist is a nutrition, is a electricianist. And so what we're doing is we're looking for the disconnect in the nervings, the wire, which are the nerve, the nervings are the wire to the body system. So what we're doing is looking to find out how we can reconnect in the form of reflexing the nerve ending on that particular point to open up what we call the blockages in that area. So that's basically the concept of what reflexology is. In terms of when you think about the nervous system, if you look at a chart of the nervous system, you'll see how all the nerve endings begin in your head and run straight through your body, ending in your hands, your feet, and your ears. So that's what we do. We just activate the communication center via the nerve endings and the brain because they work hand in hand.
I love how you explained that, because when I just imagine the chart of the body, and when you do look at the nerves, it actually does go into the endings of your fingers and into your toes and your feet. So it's just interesting how you explain that, and also being the electrician, and like it's kind of like jump starting it by pushing
Yes.
certain points.
Yes.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that, and I'm just pressing some points now, and I'm like, ooh, interesting.
But you want to hear, so let me tell you something else.
Tell me, please.
Everybody has done reflexology or received it, and
Okay.
everybody has the power in their hands to actually heal their body, but they don't know how to use it. That's the concept. And let me share what I mean when I say everybody has received reflexology. If you remember as a child, or even you as a parent, and you have a little baby, and what you do, a little game they call this little piggy. And when you do this little piggy, and you're turning the toes, and you're moving the toes backward and forward on the child, all of the nerve endings to the head are in your fingers and your toes. So when you're the baby and you're turning the little toe backward and forward, that's a process of reflexology. And what will happen? The baby may start laughing, the baby calms down, and the baby may even go to sleep because you've activated the nerve endings to the head that could calm and de-stress the baby at that particular time. That's reflexology.
That's so beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. And I love how you said that we all have the power in our hands to do it. I mean, we can all, play with our fingers, play with our toes, push certain points. And we have done that in the past. I think
Yes.
that's so beautiful, knowing that we have the power to help ourselves.
Exactly. And let me
Yeah.
share with your listeners to know how to show with you how reflexology works. Now I'm going to ask you this question. Say you hit the funny bone on your elbow. What's the first thing you're going to do?
You're gonna put your hand on it.
The first thing you're going to do when you hit that elbow and all of a sudden you hit that funny bone, what's the first thing you do?
I don't know, laugh, jump back. I don't know.
The first thing you're going to do is you're going to either scream or you're going to say
Okay.
something not so nice, but you're going to do a
Yes.
verbal release.
Verbal expression, correct.
So
Yes.
the verbal release comes first. The message then goes through the nerve endings to the brain, stress, trauma in the elbow area. Then the next thing you're going to do is you're going to put your hand on it or start rubbing it. Message goes from the nerve ending to the brain. Release the body's natural pain relievers. So by rubbing, that's your body's pain relief coming to that area to calm and soothe it down. And all you did was touch it.
Oh my gosh, you're so right.
That's what we do as reflexologists. And you have the power to do that exact same thing.
You're so right. When we do hurt ourselves, and I did hurt myself last weekend, the first thing you do is you touch that point that you hurt, and you just like, and then you're like touching it. Your hands go on it straight away. The connection to that is just beautiful. And that's kind of sending messages to our brain, being like, release the pain medication, the internal one.
And see, that's where we have a problem, because we've become so disconnected from our bodies. Our bodies are designed to heal itself. All we are to do is assist the body in the process. And when we understand that, that's how you take that control of your body from experiencing pain and stress. When you understand you have the power of touch in your hands that activates that relief that your body is seeking.
Yeah. You're saying we've become so disconnected. So does that mean that we don't send off the natural pain killer neurons and things into our system to help us with pain, is because we are so disconnected, and then we go on and take some pain medication to not assist our body, but just to mask it?
When I say disconnected, one of the things is we don't respect our bodies. And I'll give you an example of what I mean when I say that. If you have an automobile and you go purchase your automobile, and they're going to give you some instructions about this is what you need to do to make sure you keep the upkeep of your automobile. And what we don't understand is that the automobile is designed as a carbon copy replica of our body. It's set up just like our bodies. It operates the exact same thing. So when you think about your automobile, and when it says X number of months, you need to go do a maintenance check on the automobile, the same thing applies to the body. You need to do a maintenance check. And the other thing is that we take care of our automobiles. So when you take your automobile to your mechanic, you'll tell your mechanic, well, you know, the car's not starting here and it's not doing this, it's not doing that. The mechanic understands that. And when we go to our doctors, we do the exact same thing. We go to our doctors with that same kind of communication like you do to your automobile mechanic. We tell the doctor, well, my back is aching here. The doctor doesn't understand that. So what is the doctor going to tell you? We got to do some tests. And once we do some tests, then we'll be able to find out what's going on. But in the meantime, here's a prescription I'm going to give you for your pain. But what did you come for? Relief for pain. But what did you get? A prescription for the pain, which we don't even know. The doctor gave you a prescription for pain, but he don't know what is causing that pain that you need a pain relief for. And so because we're not connected to our bodies, we're disconnected from it, we don't understand how to communicate what's going on inside of our bodies, and we're not paying attention to it. Because whenever you're in pain, trust me, it didn't happen overnight. Pain happened. Oh, it's not too bad. I can deal with it. Then it comes back again, a little more intense. This is a little bit uncomfortable, but it's okay. So then the body says, I gave you two warnings. You didn't pay attention to me. So now I'm going to put you down. And what happens is now you have the acute to chronic pain pain problem that is winding up turning into an illness with the definition of a disease. And because we don't understand and pay attention to our body, that's what forms the disconnect.
Yeah. I love how you put that. And I feel like, unfortunately, it's kind of like when you said, you know, the body's giving you one warning, second warning. It's kind of like we're really disrespecting the first warning, the second warning, and we're saying we're not listening to you because there's something more important for me than my actual own body. And when you put it that way, you're like, there is nothing else more important than the signals that your body is giving you, the signs.
Yes.
And then we are unable to communicate that to a practitioner or a doctor or that someone's supposed to help us. It's like, what's happening? It's like, oh, I don't know. It's just something here. It's just something. Instead of, you know, being like, okay, what I'm having right now is shooting pains. Then they tingle along. It goes down my arm. It goes through my leg. You know, or like the doctor goes, does it go down your leg? And you're just like, I don't know. Because most people from up here where their neck is down below are totally disconnected.
Exactly.
And it's so interesting. And then we're unable to explain what's happening. And then we just get masked with painkillers and opioids. And there's so many opioid medications out there. And so many people are getting addicted. It's a huge, huge issue.
But see, what we're not understanding is that you have to be able to connect pain with stress. Because when you understand the stress-pain connection, which is the corporate, because they tell you 95% of all illness is a result of stress. So what is stress? Stress is something that's happening outside of your body that you bring inside by internalizing. So which means that if you're dealing with a situation mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, and it's a stress factor and you bring it inside your body, that tension has no way of releasing itself. So what is it going to do? It's going to find some area in your body as a means of trying to come out. And if that area is weak, it's not the normal channels of elimination. And so now you have what's called a pain situation. And when I say in terms of dealing with your doctor, one of the things we have to understand that's the difference between allopathic medicine and naturopathic medicine is that we focus on the whole body, mind, body, and spirit. And one of the things that's missing in allopathic medicine, it is excellent in diagnosing, bar none. It knows how to diagnose, but it does not know how to treat. That's where the problem comes in. And I say that because when a client comes to me, which is what's missing in allopathic, and I deal with pain relief first before treatment using reflexology and the power of touch. And the reason is because when a client comes to me first, the first thing I'm going to do, they're coming to me for what? Pain relief. That's all they want. They don't want nothing else but pain relief. So in order to get to the pain relief, the one thing you have to do is touch. And the first form of touch is letting them talk to me. All I do is sit there and listen as they talk to me about what's going on in their bodies. But what I'm listening for is, where's that stress factor? Once I hear what the stress factor is, that's the contributor to your pain. Now we can move to the pain relief that you want using the reflexology. After that, we now move to let's do integrative approaches from a therapeutic approach because there's no one modality that can do it all. It's got to be an integrative approach. And when I say that, your stress factor that's contributing pain, does that mean you need a body cleanse? Does that mean more nutrients are needed for that particular organ? Or does that mean that you need to be able to have nutritional counseling? You may need to have some other type of massage. The muscles may be affected that's needed. Or do you need to go to a chiropractor? Do we need to look at acupuncture? You need to be able to look at what can be the other integrative supportive approaches using reflexology as the introduction or the entry to relieving the pain first. Because once The pain is relieved. The client's patient is what? More than willing to now let me look at the treatment. Let me move to treatment. Because one of the things that patients have to understand, even practitioners too, have to understand, we are not healers. All we are practitioners who assist the body in the healing process. It's a two-way street. The patient and the practitioner have to be in oneness, working together cooperatively and collectively in assisting the body in the healing process. And so in order to get that, you've got to get the person's pain relieved first. Then you move to the treatment.
Yeah, I love that you said that, the integration, not only the integration with the practitioner and the person that's come to see you, but the integration of a team. Like you mentioned, maybe it's a massage therapist, maybe it's a nutritionist, maybe it's a chiropractor, acupuncturist, whoever it is, combine them together so the individual has a team around them that's supporting their body to heal. And I guess the individual that's healing is in the center of it, that's communicating and managing it all to ensure that their body feels safe with these individuals, yes, and with the treatment the individuals have chosen, and therefore is able to then calm that stress response and then is able to be in homeostasis and be able to live, yes, life to their fullest potential. But I do love that you mentioned the whole integration part. I think it's absolutely necessary. When you said, what is the first thing I do? The first thing that popped into my head is I just imagined you just going in, hello, and just hugging them all. The first form of touch, just jumping on them straight away and being like, giving them a good little cuddle.
I like that.
Yeah. respecting everyone's choices of hugs or no hugs, but that is healing in itself. We know it hugs is. Are healing.
It is, because we've gotten away from touch. And the fact of the matter is, the number one way to heal the body is through touch. And we also have to understand that touch is a lot more than just physical. Touch is emotional. Touch is mental. Touch is spiritual. And the how I say this, I usually give the examples. There are two words that are the most powerful words that touch worldwide. And those two words are thank you. When you say thank you, that brings so much healing energy between just the exchange in terms of somebody gave, somebody received. I gave, I received. I gave by saying, thank you, I received. That circle, that's powerful. Another one is just to be able to smile at someone can lift somebody's day. That's a form of touch. Somebody could be down and they need an encouraging word. And all of a sudden, just that touch lifted their spirits. We've got to be able to understand that we are touching as a people. And because we are touching as a people, we've got to get back to the healthy side of touching, which is what's needed. I always say this, my unscientific study about the pandemic when we were in that 2.5 year lockdown, I feel that the major reason that most people made transition during that time was because of the lack of touch. I could not see my family members. I could not connect with my family members. I could not feel my family members. I could not touch them. They could not touch me. I think all of that played a big role, because during that time, touch was like number one banned on the list. You know, you're not to touch. And it has spilled over. Now that we're back moving around, we're still in that mode of not touching.
Yeah, wow. It just made me reflect on those years. And you're so right. That was kind of like banned, and it was seen as such a bad thing to touch someone. And then, you know, yes, a lot of people did, leave this earth. And it's like, why? Okay. And you hit the nail on the head. The touch was taken away from us. Mm-hmm. Individuals who were healthy or maybe, you know, a little bit sick and they were going to leave the earth, they left a bit sooner than maybe needed exactly. or wanted, because you're unable to hold a hand. You're unable to be there for them. But an interesting part that you did say is you said, when I think about touch, right, I straight away think physical, but from what you were talking, it sounds like touch comes in all different forms. You said listening to the client was a form of touch. Smiling is a form of touch. Is that right? Is that what you're trying to get across? It's not just physical touch.
That's it. Touch is your connection. That's what touching is. It's how you connect, the way you connect when it's needed to be about healing. Touch is healing, and touch is something inside of you that'll automatically just come up and say, you may see somebody, oh, that lady over there is really feeling down. Let me go over and say hello to her. And just saying hello touched her.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
That's a form of touch. And you didn't put your hands on, you didn't do anything. All you did was just acknowledge her. Oh, I see you now. You know, is there something I can do to help you? How can I make that's another example, driving in your automobile and all of a sudden, like, it's bumper to bumper traffic and somebody just slows down and gives you enough room to let them in. You just raise your hand in a form of saying, thank you. That's touch.
Yeah.
And that could have made somebody's day. I mean, you know, that just them seeing that, they may have been feeling down, but just to say, I let somebody in, and somebody actually acknowledged me letting them in, made them feel good.
Yeah, 100%. And it comes in different forms. So if someone, you know, comes to you, which we've spoken about, and is in pain, and you said that's one of the first things that you address, do a lot of people, are they on pain medications? Do they come to you being on opioids? Do they come to you being addicted to these? And what do they do to the body? Like, what do these types of medications do to us?
First of all, most people that will come to me, they're coming because they've been on pain medication.
Yeah.
But the reason that leads them to coming to practitioners like us who deal with medication-free approaches to healthcare is because they have exhausted all of their resources to be able to get the pain medication. And that's the one reason that led me into spending this latter half of my career doing research on connecting reflexology and the power of touch in relieving pain. Because in terms of what you asked me, I lost a lot of clients and a lot of colleagues because of the opiate epidemic. And that's when I realized that the pain was so unbearable. And I say that because that's touching your body and your body can't tolerate it and you can't exist. So you're looking for relief from that. And that's when I started looking at, we've got to go back. You know, that's what reflexology does. It leaves pain. But I got to connect that with the power of touch as it relates to relieving pain. So to answer your question is, when you're dealing with medication, think of your body like this. When something comes into your body, you have what's called the body's defense system. So the defense is like the defense walls goes up when something foreign is coming down and the body doesn't know, it's not familiar with, it doesn't see how it can break it up and send it where it needs to go. You keep sending those substances down, so it winds up breaking down the body's defense mechanism. When the body's defense mechanism breaks down, now you got what's a foreign substance inside the body that's going who knows where, and wherever it goes, it starts attacking various systems and organs inside the body that eventually turns into a disease. And when that disease happens, now you're dealing with I only took pain medication because I had a back pain, and I was using it for back pain. And then my back pain became so unbearable that I had to, keep on taking medication. I'm taking it and taking it because the pain is not going away. So I've broken my system down. So now I got another illness connected to my pain problem. And this is the cycle that happens in terms of what opioids has done as it relates to creating another problem on top of a problem that you originally were trying to address, because we're of the mindset it's got to be a quick fix. But we forget that that pain problem did not happen overnight. So how do you expect the relief to come in a quick way when the problem didn't happen in a quick way?
And I guess it's unfortunate because, like you said, most of us want that quick fix, and that's what's given to us and provided to us. And that's kind of all we know in the first instance, unless we dig deeper and find people and find practitioners and find education, find the research that you're talking about, that there are alternatives. But I guess, and like you said, I guess that doesn't happen until most of those things have been exhausted. And by that time, that medication has already caused some type of imbalance, in the body. So I guess starting off when they started taking the medication compared to when they've come to see you or similar practitioners, there's already been an additional imbalance being caused.
Which puts you in a situation, I don't want your listeners to think that that's a doom and gloom. It's not. Because what needs to happen if you're on medication and you're looking for alternatives, the first thing that you're going to have to really focus on is dealing with a body cleanse. Once you start cleaning the body out, then the body can now start rejuvenating itself to get back on track. So that way, when you're working with your practitioner for your particular health problem, now you're in a situation where you can start looking at the alternatives to start working for you, because number one, you've done a cleanse and you've also changed your mindset. Those two have to go hand in hand, cleansing and mindset change. Once that happens, now you are assisting the body to work in your favor and not against you.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you put in the mindset aspect because, as we know, sometimes the pain can also just be all neurological in a sense of that pathway is drilled in and the pain does is not even there anymore. They'll do scans and they'll say everything's healed, but unfortunately, that pain pathway has been drilled into so deeply and we've made those
Exactly.
connections, it's still there.
Exactly. That's it.
So that's where the mindset is so important. So if someone comes to you and is on pain medication, and they have been for years, you said the first thing that you address is this pain. Do you do that straight away with reflexology, or what do you do straight away before you put them on a cleanse?
Well, the first thing we're going to do, like I say, one of the things that health practitioners don't understand, I'm going to flip and say the business side. We are a business that provides a service. And the reason why I'm saying that, because I want to show the parallel. When you go to the store, you go in there because there's something specifically you want to buy and the store has it and you go buy it. The same thing applies to when you come to a doctor. You want to buy pain relief. And so by buying pain relief is why I say the first thing I'm going to do is do the listening, so that way I can be about looking at how effectively I need to use reflexology to relieve the pain. So listen first, then I do reflexology. Now, the thing about reflexology that I want your listeners to understand is that because we deal with the whole body, your back may be where you're feeling the pain, but that's not the culprit of your pain. We have to look at the whole body. What else contributes to back pain? Is it the fact that you may also be having pressure going on somewhere in the stomach area. Could be a corporate and you're feeling the pain in the back. Or it could be that you're dealing with an old injury that has all of a sudden activated and that's in the back. You have to look at all of those little intricate reasons. And when you do a reflexology session, you're going to work on the hands and the feet. Not only just that back pain area, but you're going to go through the whole body. You're going to take it step by step from the head all the way to the feet in terms of a reflexology session in addressing that person's relief from pain first.
Yes, it's a whole body approach. And you listen first. You hear those little keywords that they're saying. It's like, you know, my job, my family, or even finances. Or, you know, it's kind of like, I love the question of, okay, so, you know, your pain started in January. What happened in January? And then they're like, oh, no, nothing. Oh, yeah, no, actually, I signed my divorce papers. And it's like, okay.
You're right.
It's interesting to go back, and that goes back to what you said about being disconnected. A lot of people, unless they're asked, don't really make the connection of when disease or, you know, imbalance occurs around things that are changing their life. It's like, maybe I started going carnivore, I started going vegan, I changed my diet, I moved houses, I started a new job, I became a mum or a dad. There's so many different changes that occur, but a lot of people go, oh, well, it's normal, natural, my body should be the same no matter what happens externally. It's like, no, our body takes on, like you said, anything that happens outside of us, it takes it on inside, and that's that stress. And then it's unable to remove itself, and that's when you come in and you listen and you do the reflexology as a whole body thing.
Yes, because if you think about people who are in chronic pain, and I get a lot of clients like that in chronic pain. And when I say chronic pain, they've been in pain for so long that they don't even know what it feels like to not be in pain.
Yes,
and see, that's another part of that whole mindset process. You can't even take them back to when was the first time they were in pain, because they have no memory of that. It's like, you know, I got this pain, and see, it's like when I first got the pain, well, this is a way of life. I'm going to have to deal with this for the rest of my life. And so that was your first impression, and that became implanted inside of you. I got this pain. I got to live with this for the rest of my life. So which means that now we got to work on, how do I get you to do a mind cleanse to think about there's another way? And the way you do that is you have to, like, get them to start thinking about, what are some of the things that you really love to do? Not used to do. What are some of the things that you love to do? You have to kind of take them down on that path again, so they can now start seeing the vision. Oh, I used to do this. Or I like to dance. Or I used to do this. Or I used to play this. Or I used to wear this. You know, you've got to almost get that tape to rewind itself to the positive and not the negative, so that you can now bring them forward in knowing that now we got some tools that we can work with in helping you to relieve pain without medication.
Yeah, and just the whole mindset of taking them there, that it is possible, is a whole vibrational frequency shift.
Yes.
It's like, it is possible for me to play golf again, you know, and do that swing and not be sore tomorrow. Is that a possibility? And then just slowly embedding that is possible, making them see it happen, making them feel it. And then, dealing into that pathway compared to the pain pathway of, like, I'm not going to be able to do that. And I like that you said, it's not all doom and gloom. There are possibilities, but the individual has to take the control. And this is what you're saying, is you're not the healer. The individual needs to take that control and be like, it is possible for me to do this, and I am going to do it, and this is how I'm going to do it.
Exactly. It's very basic. When we understand,
I love that. It's very basic.
When we understand that, another thing I tell my clients is, how do you see your body? Is your body a temple or a warehouse? Now, if you look at a temple is something sacred and special. A warehouse is where I store everything and anything and everything can be there. You have to see your body from the standpoint, if it's a temple, that's your temple, that's sacred, that's special, you're going to give it the best you possibly can. You're going to maintain it to be in its optimum. And when you start seeing your body as your sacred temple, that opens up a whole nother door in terms of, yeah, I need to stop doing this, or I need to add this. You start thinking differently.
And it rewards you. Instead of
Yes.
ignoring it, your body's going to reward you and say, wow, thank you so much for putting that beautiful food in my stomach. Thank you so much for thinking those beautiful thoughts. Thank you for hugging me. Like, there's this thing
Yes.
I was listening, I heard the other week, and it was kind of saying, hugging yourself, just touching
Yes.
yourself, like
Yes.
running your hand over your arm, over your leg, and taking that time to just feel your own body. Yes, you want hugs from other people. Yes, you want other people to hold your hand or kiss your forehead
Yeah.
or whatever it is. But how about doing that to yourself? And what, and you even saying the power of touch, it's like, what is that power of touch of actually, touching yourself and rubbing your own arm or leg or your face and giving those little cute strokes and closing your eyes and connecting? Like, what type of healing is that?
And that's a prime example because that's how my practice operates. And I'll share with you how it came into play. Back in about 1989, I wrote the book Reflexology Today, A Family Affair. And when I wrote the book, I was on my way to China to be trained, to get some more training in reflexology. And when I got to China, one of the things that happened was when you, the doctors in China, they spend at least an hour to an hour and a half with a patient before they even see treatment. After they spend that time with the patient, then they bring all of the family members in because now we have to look at what's going to be the preventive approach. This particular family member has this particular for a health problem. So how do we do a program so that the family has a preventive approach in place so this doesn't happen to the whole family? When I saw that experience, it was a confirmation because the reason why I wrote the book was because I felt that at least one member in every household should know some basic reflexology points in terms of relieving pain and stress. And by doing that, it becomes a family affair. And so, in my practice, a client may come for about five sessions, but during those five sessions, I'm teaching them the reflexology techniques that they need to do as a self-help tool in
Yes.
relieving pain and stress. So now you have a pain relief 24/7. Anytime you want it, and you share it with a family member. Now you have a reflexologist inside your household that can assist you with the reflexology therapy. So that's the whole concept of bringing touch back so it becomes a family affair. And it's a family affair in connecting, and it's a family affair in healing.
Yeah, wow, that's just absolutely beautiful. Because even the connection point of two individuals in a family or three sitting down and being like, all right, I'm about to do this, and they do the touch of reflexology, just the whole connection point of sitting down away from phones, laptops, TVs, music, whatever it is, and
Yes.
having that whole connection, the heart to heart, mind to mind connection with each other is just beautiful. And then the touch involved in itself is just healing in itself. I think that's just magical.
That's why I say, like we were designed to heal ourselves using our hands.
Yeah.
And
Is
once
it?
we understand the power of our hands, you can have almost everything.
I love that. Is there any points that you're able to show us? One or two points that we're able to help with pain relief for individuals? I know it might be different for everyone, but is there a point that's like that you prefer to use most of the time, or that you would want the audience to know about?
what I say, the easiest way, if you can you see my hand?
Yes, I can see your hand.
Okay. What I share with people, when we're doing reflexology, you take your thumb and you do what's called a walking motion, like this. You're just bending your thumb. So if you want just general pain relief, take the palm of your hand and use your thumb and just walk across the palm of your hand. Just walk across it. That's activating every organ and system inside the body. In terms
nice.
Of, and just get it, if you get in the habit of that, that brings a sense of calmness. If your energy level is high and you need to calm down, just start doing this. It'll lower.
So it's just that.
That's all. Just that. Exactly. That's all you're doing. And that's just the basic. You don't know the specific points, but it's activating the nerve endings in the hands that connect
yeah.
every part of the body. That's the basic. And if you just get in the habit of just doing that, whenever you start feeling tense, whenever you start feeling some kind of pain or discomfort, just start doing that. Walk. I call it walking the palm. Just walk
yeah.
the palm of the hand and take a deep breath as you're doing it and let it out so that as you're doing this, it'll whatever is stressing will start automatically going through the normal channels of elimination and releasing itself.
I love
just
that. That's
basic.
So beautiful.
That's a basic technique.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I love that. And it's interesting because sometimes I know that when I'm a bit overwhelmed or excited or something's happened, I rub my whole palm. I do these.
Uh-huh.
And it just happens naturally. And I'm pretty sure other individuals that are listening are like, oh, I do this and this to help me calm. And it is probably a form of reflexology. And we just innately just do it.
Exactly. The only difference is instead of doing the rubbing, do the walking.
Oh, the
bend
walking.
The thumb.
Okay.
Instead of rubbing,
okay.
just do the walking.
Okay.
Because
yep.
the walking will activate nerves. When you're rubbing, that deals with the muscles.
Oh, that is a difference. Yes. Okay. I can feel that. Okay.
Which leads
amazing.
Me to this one thing I want your listeners to know.
Please.
Reflexology is not massage.
Yes, yes,
massage
100%.
Massage works the muscular system and reflexology works the nervous system. We are kin to each other, but we are different.
Yes, yes. Thank you for sharing that 100%. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more with you. Wow, yeah, you've shared some absolutely amazing information with us today. I love it. Is there anything else that you want to share with the audience before we close up for today?
Well, one thing I'd like to share with the audience, by all means, go to my website, focusonhealing.com, and go to the contact section of the website. And if you have any questions that you want to know about relieving pain, medication-free, or with reflexology, send me a message. I will definitely get back to you in terms of how you can relieve pain medication-free with integrative approaches to healthcare. By all means, contact me. And the next thing I'd like to share with everyone is in the African tradition, when we come visit someone's home, we bring a gift. And I'm visiting your home and I have a gift for you and your listeners. I have created a downloadable medication-free pain and stress relief poster that everyone can download. All they have to do is go to reflexologytouchology.com. And
beautiful.
Once you go there, excuse me, I said it backwards. It's touchologyreflexology.com. So you go to touchologyreflexology.com and download the poster. That's my thank you gift to your listeners and to you for having me on your show today.
Thank you so much. That's so kind of you. And I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes so individuals are able to click on it and download that to help them out. And I appreciate you putting in all that work, all the effort, all the love that you put into the work that you do and then sharing it with your beautiful voice today. I really, really, really appreciate your time. And thank you for the amazing work that you do and helping thousands of individuals have some relief of pain through the healing power of touch.
I thank you, and my closing word will be, The power of touch heals all.
Thank you for joining us on Natural Podcast. And remember, you're pure love, capable of living life to your fullest expression.
The information provided here is opinion of Mahalo Goose and is for information purposes only. It does not constitute medical advice. It is not intended to provide medical advice or take the place of medical advice or any current treatment you're undertaking. Consult your own medical professionals for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the Natural Health Podcast. It is advised that you consult your doctor or healthcare professional in relation to any health concerns you may be having. Mahalo Ragus does not take responsibility for any health consequences which occur from a person listening, viewing, or reading this content. Under the circumstances, shall the Natural Health Podcast, Mahalo Ragus, any guests or contributors to the Natural Health Podcast, or any employees, associates, or affiliates of Mahalo Ragus be responsible for damages arising from the information provided on Natural Podcast. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical conditions in either yourself or others. Please note, if you're taking prescription, do not stop your medication or start a new protocol, including but not limited to supplements, diet, lifestyle changes, without consulting a doctor or healthcare professional. If you or any person has a medical concern, you should consult with your healthcare provider or seek other professional medical advice. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something that you have read or heard on the Natural Podcast or in any linked materials. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or emergency services immediately. Neither Mahalo Ragus nor the publisher of this context takes responsibility for the possible health consequences of any person or persons reading or listening or following the information in the educational content.